receive from above that will make you defy lust so that you can please your master. You told the Lord, everywhere you send me, I will go. And until the Lord tells you to go to the north, and then you become threatened, what will happen to me? There is a capacity that the Lord must furnish in your spirit by the Holy Ghost that will give you that audacity and courage to go anywhere the Lord sends you, because you are no longer your own. You were bought with a price. You became a servant of the Lord. There is a capacity that you must sustain. And for this capacity to be resident on your inside, there is a process. That process is what I want to show you tonight. The first thing every believer, having received Christ, received eternal life, and confessed Jesus as his Lord, must make a way of life in order to have the ability of God working on his inside to fulfill destiny, is what I call intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You will fail on your confession again and again. You will fail on your conviction again and again until you build intimacy with the Lord. It's not enough for you to confess bogus things to God. The proof that you meant your confession is that you will go to the Lord to help you. Because the ability that you require is an ability of the Spirit. It's not in the flesh. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profited nothing. If you think you will go through life and please God just because you have a strong will, you have not seen the persecution of the last day. Moses rose up in Egypt and he said, why will Israel be persecuted by the Egyptians? And then he took advantage of his strong will and he went and slayed an Egyptian. When Pharaoh rose up with wrath, Moses ran for his life. Your will is not competent. Your desire is not strong enough. There is a help that you must receive from God in order to be able to stand in the last day. And because you know that in you is no strength, you will have to run to him that is able to strengthen you through affliction. He said they look up to him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. When you see a man who doesn't have an intimate walk with God, forget everything he's saying. Everything he's saying can be challenged. His convictions can be compromised. If he has not fallen, it's just because he has not met enough challenge. The devil knows that when the day of adversity comes, that man will bow. Because the only thing that makes men to stand is what they receive from the Lord. And this is why we sentence ourselves to a journey of intimacy. You cannot be part of the army of God unless God himself continually strengthens you. I know you are intelligent. I know you are on a first class degree. I know you are studying engineering. I know you are studying medicine. But sir, the arena where you are functioning, they don't do biology and chemistry. They do spirit, life and death. So it's either you have spirit and life or you will fall into death. Spirits have no regard for medicine. It doesn't matter if you studied astronomy. It doesn't matter if you studied architecture. It doesn't matter if you studied aeronautic engineering. In that realm, they deal with spirit and life. So it's either you function by the energy of the life of God or you will fall by death. There are no two ways about it. There is no middle ground. Either you become a slave of Christ in intimacy or another spirit will rule you, whether you like it or not, because you were designed to be possessed of spirit. I know a lot of people that have great visions. They think they can fulfill it by their own hands. You have not seen the spirit realm enough. When you see the kinds of spirits that are hovering in this realm, looking for men to subdue, you will know that you need help. The greatest of men today, there are prayers that they always carry on their lips. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. You can never see any man that is great today that is either not praying, Lord, have mercy, or Lord, help me, or Lord, thank you. Because every man succeeding, every man standing is a man helped of God. And the only way you can receive the help of God is when you have an intimate walk with him. If you don't have an intimate walk with the Lord, trust me, brothers and sisters, your confidence will fail you at some point. Your willpower will collapse at some point. Your intelligence will fail you at some point. Only God can make men walk through in life. And the great patriarchs of old knew this. David understood this from a boy. He was a little boy. The Bible spoke concerning Saul. It said he was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. The thing Paul did not know is that his battle is not only with Israel. He was going to fight the giant of Gath that have 6 fingers and 6 toes. When Saul stood with Goliath, he now discovered that his stature was child's play. He met a man that was many times taller than him. The guy was 6 cubits tall. He was so big that another man has to carry his shield. Another man entirely. What kind of man is this? Paul ran to his closet. Saul ran to his closet. There are many crises that the devil have marshaled on the way. If you don't receive the help of God today, when you contend with them, you will run away. But the reason why crisis can become your announcement in the spirit is because you are helped. When you find the help of God, the things that should destroy you becomes the reason why you have testimony. So when you see men that have testimonies every day, they are men that run through afflictions every day. The only thing is that they are not swallowed up. The hand of God came to take them out. And that was what David knew. He said, by my God, I ran through a troop. By my God, I leaped over a wall. I didn't win battles because I was intelligent. I didn't win battles because I was strong. I knew the finger of God. He said, the Lord taught my hands to fight and my fingers to war. There was something at work on my inside. And that's why David can forfeit the throne. But he will tear his clothes and go on his knees and say, take not thy Holy Spirit from within me. I know what gives me victory is not military intelligence. Military intelligence is important, but there is a help that I have from God. My Redeemer, he liveth. There are too many Christians today that have no walk with God. We are interested in platforms. We are interested in pulpits. We are interested in preaching. Sir, only intimate men can change their world. It's better you have intimacy with God and don't know much to say than to have so much to say and not have a walk with God. At best, you will be an orator. Men will clap for you, but you will have no impact. You will make impressions all your life, but there will be no impact until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. The wilderness will not become a fruitful field, and a fruitful field can never become a forest. It is intimacy. When a man begins to walk in intimacy with the Lord, 3 things, amongst others, happens. The first thing that happens is that the Lord entrusts that man with the blueprint of his kingdom on the face of the earth. This structure we are sitting in today was once a blueprint in the spirit. When this structure and this ministry was thought of in the heart of God, there was no name of any man on it. The name of a man was not written on it. It was just a design in the spirit realm. It is a man who can travel far enough that we see it. There are many things God wants to do on the earth today, but there is no name on it. When God said, a virgin shall give birth, they didn't say Mary shall give birth. The question is, if it is Mary that can ascend there, then Mary will become the virgin. When they said there will be a man that will gather millions of people, a name was not written on it. It is a man that journeys in intimacy that will become that man. When he said he was going to deliver Israel, the name of Moses was not written. It took intimacy to journey there. And the Bible said something in Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. It said Moses kept the sheep of his father-in-law until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. If he didn't travel to Horeb, he wouldn't have seen it. And if he didn't see it, there is no way he would have been the one to bet the system and the civilization of God through the Israelite. He took intimacy to see the pattern. And that's why God told him, he said, ensure to build according to the patterns that were revealed to you of the mount. The men who build kingdoms, the men who build dimensions, they don't do it because they are intelligent. They do it because it was revealed to them. and you will labor in the spirit. You will journey with God before he can entrust you with it. The reason is because God is not interested in buildings. God is interested in a spiritual system that can host him. So the idea is not the building. The idea is to host the presence of God. So when Moses built the tabernacle, it became the place where God encountered him. So what intimacy does is that it empowers you to build for God systems and civilization on the face of the earth. Now, why am I talking about this? Because one of the ways spirits fight is to create civilization. When a spirit wants to take over a city, it is weak for that spirit to just possess individuals. That spirit is interested in the media. When it captures the media, it's not capturing one man, it's capturing millions. That spirit is interested in the government. When it captures the government, it's capturing millions. That spirit is interested in the academia, because through civilizations, spirits take over a generation. So God wants to take over a generation. There are civilization patterns that he reveals to men that pay the price to walk with him in intimacy. When that price is paid, then he can tell you, go to Lagos and establish something for me. Not because you were creative, but he cannot trust you to co-participate with him in extending kingdom. There are too many believers that are all over the place. They are busy here and there. And when you are busy here and there, it's a waste to commit spiritual things to you, because you will lose it. Intimacy causes God to entrust you with patterns that shape civilization. Why do you think there are so many of us here today? It's because a man caught a pattern. And that pattern he's caught can attract men from all around the world. I heard up till today, God's servant, Pastor E. Adeboye, walks around this redemption camp praying all night. At 79, what is in this thing that we don't know? Meanwhile, we are laboring to preach like him. We are laboring to have what he has. What he has is a byproduct of his intimacy. There is a height he has got into that these things must be committed to him. It's not about what you see them do in the natural. Find out their depth in the spirit. A man can stand and talk to God for 30 hours just to go and preach for 20 minutes. Meanwhile, you are coming to preach. You say you know the Bible. Which Bible? Which Bible? Do you know what you are carrying? The Bible said, holy men of God, they spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit doesn't carry you, this book will be locked. We don't know the Bible. The Bible is revealed to us. It is in intimacy that this book opens. You want to be relevant with God, you must have a deep root in the Spirit. Don't spring out and try to create impression. Take root first. Number two, when you walk in intimacy, God can trust you with authority. In Mark chapter 3 verse 14, he said he called them to be with him that he might send them. You can't have the authority to address your generation until you have stayed long enough with him to trust you with it. Authority is not a gift, it's an entrustment. That's why all of us are calling the name of Jesus, but the outcome is different. So it's not about the name. How much authority can you be entrusted with? It takes staying with God for God to entrust you with authority. That's why Adam in the garden lost his authority when he was driven out of the garden. He violated the code of intimacy. You know, as young people, we are very energetic. You can choose not to pray for 1 month, but you have messages. And even if the message is not there, you can cover up with your charisma. When you become 60 years old, you will discover that your natural ability was your limitation. But when you learn it early enough, even though you are strong now, you will not trust in it. Because it's a woe unto the man that puts his trust in the flesh. He said, the arm of flesh, it will fail. We have judged this thing in the spirit realm. We have checked all the parameters out. You are just a novice in the realm. That's why you don't know. We have lived in this realm for aeons. And we have checked that flesh will always fail. But you see, because you are 30 years old, you are still creative. You just came to the corridor. So there's so much you want to show. The spirits that are ancient, they have already checked. They say the flesh, it profited nothing. We have verified this matter. Trust us. Don't bank on the flesh. Come up hither. Come to the presence where the flesh is mortified and it is exchanged with the energy of the spirit. I know you are full of zeal. I know you are full of charisma. But there is a place where we substitute flesh for spirit. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come up hither. There is an authority you can't command unless you travel deep enough. That's why I said we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. It takes depth in the spirit for you to wield authority. And if you don't journey there experientially, you will see a lot of things, but you will not have authority to back it up. The third thing that intimacy will do for you as a soldier in the last day is that it will baptize you with vision. A man is strong to the degree to which he can see. Without vision, a people will perish. Everyone created. There were three things God weaved to make for your success in life. Number one is a purpose. A purpose is the intent or the intention of God for your creation. Number two is a calling. A calling is God's strategy for you to fulfill your purpose. And number three is a vision. A vision is the visible manifestation of that which was in the heart of God. God can call me to heal broken bodies. God can call Brother Neil to heal broken bodies. But that's a purpose. But the strategy can be different. So maybe in the studio of eternity, God said, Brother Neil and Brother Michael, when they go to the earth realm, they will bring men to serve me by addressing their bodies. Now, when we come into the earth realm, God can tell Brother Neil that you will deal with broken bodies through medical science, or you will deal with broken bodies through the anointing, and Brother Michael will deal with broken bodies through medical science. The purpose is the same. Bring men to serve God by dealing with the afflictions of their body. The calling is different. You will do it by the anointing. I will do it through a spatula and a stethoscope. So calling is the strategy for fulfilling purpose. And then the vision is the pictorial excerpt of that which God had in mind. So you walk according to the vision. But if you don't have intimacy, you will not know it. Because these things are revealed on the mount. That's why Moses knew he was a deliverer. But Moses wanted to deliver Israel by killing Egyptians. The goal is not to kill Egyptians. How many Egyptians can you kill? He sends the body. He was zealous, but he had not seen the pattern. The goal is not to kill the Egyptians. The goal is to come back and go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. And by doing that, you will have the opportunity to display the power of God as a testimony and as immortal memorial. If Moses were killing up the Egyptians in hiding, even if he killed all of them, there would be no glory to God. So that is not God's calling for his life. But it took an encounter for him to see. Most of us have the propensity of the spirit to change our world. The problem is that we have not seen it on the mount. And the reason we have not seen it is because our intimacy level have not brought us to a guaranteed level where God can reveal these things. Intimacy is one of the strongest weapons of the church of the last day. I honor a man when I can perceive his weight in the spirit. When you speak to me, I'm not so moved by your manifestation. I'm not so moved by what you can do when you are ministering. I find out, how long can you tarry in the presence? How long Can you tarry? And if you tarry, it will show in your fruits, not just in your manifestation. Because when you come before God, one of the things that must happen to you is that you will be broken. The stature of man is not in their manifestation. The stature of man is in the degree of their brokenness because of the extent to which they have encountered God. Intimacy. The first weapon of the army of the last day. Thank God for excellence. Thank God for organization. Thank God for natural abilities. But none of them substitutes intimacy. The day your intimacy level goes down, that day you lost rank in the spirit. The day your intimacy level goes down, that day you lost so much in the spirit. Not even ministry is enough reason to affect intimacy. It is better to shut ministry down and spend time with God than to keep preaching until you lose your intimacy. God is not so pleased that you preach all around. God is more pleased that you have time for Him. Intimacy. It gives you the power and the wisdom to establish civilizations through which God can manifest His glory. It gives you authority in the spirit, and then it gives you access to vision. Are we together? Are we learning something? Number two, integrity. We are a generation that is power drunk. We think the proof that God is pleased with us or God wants to use us is that blind eyes can open, cripples can walk. That is very essential. The reason is because one miracle can validate the dimensions of God much more than a sermon. A man can argue with your theology, but he can't argue when an obvious cripple begins to walk. And that's why when God sent them out, He said, "This sign shall follow them that believe." I know when you preach, they will argue with you. But there is something I gave you, the ability to produce proof that will silence the argument of men. He said, "In my name, they will cast out demons. Even if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. If they walk upon serpents and scorpions, they will not be hurt by any means. They will speak in new tongues, dimensions of power." So power is very important. Jesus was 30 years old. He didn't take the city. But the moment power came, the Bible said He returned in the power of the Spirit. And instantly, His fame went abroad. He began to address the whole city. Power has its place. The Bible said in Acts 8, Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. When the people saw the lame walking, demons coming out of people. So the place of power cannot be overemphasized. However, your power will become a reproach if you have no integrity. We are a generation that pursue power and undermine character. Jesus modeled character for 30 years and modeled power for 3.5 years. The training for character vis-a-vis power was 10:1. 10 years against 1 year. 30 years for character modeling, 3.5 years for power. Because without character, without integrity, even if you call down fire from heaven, nobody will follow you. Nobody will believe you. And you can't leave a lasting impact. Because you will bring reproach to the name of the Lord. And that is why the first power of God that we receive is not the power to cast out devils. The first power of God that we receive is not power to open blind eyes. It said, "As many as believe, to them He gave power to become the sons of God." That means God is first of all interested in character than is interested in manifestation. If there is no character, no army can rise. We are not an army because we cast out demons. We are not an army because we heal the sick. We are not an army because we preach the gospel. We are first of all an army because our character validates our message. In Acts chapter 1 verse 2, it said concerning Jesus, of all that he both began to do and to teach. There is integrity. When Jesus climaxed ministry and they came, they didn't challenge his power. In fact, they said, no man can do the things that you do. We know that you have genuine power. But when they wanted to check him, they started profiling his character. They didn't fault his power. They attempted to fault his character. They said, this man said that he can destroy this temple and build it in 3 days. They wanted to prove that he was a liar. They could not argue with power. But if they could compromise his character, they know everything he has done will be a waste. We don't know how important character is. That's why we don't pay attention to it. When you talk about the army God is raising, they say, this man prays, this man cast out devils, this man healed the sick. That is beautiful. But when we come close to that man, can we find the virtue of sincerity? Can you give him money and the money will be there? Can you keep sisters around him and these sisters will remain in their sanity? Can this man be entrusted? What is the strength of his character? A spirit is not moved until he sees the strength of your character. God was teaching me about power, and he told me there are 7 realms of power in the spirit. He told me the first realm of power is the ability to cast out demons. I said, what? To cast out demons? I was a Christian for many years. I was afraid of mad people. I know how we labored in deliverance service to cast out demons. How can casting out demons be the least realm of power? He told me the reason is because you need the name of Jesus and revelation to cast out demons. The authority with which you cast out demons is in the name of Christ. And that's why every time we cast out devils, we cast them out in the name of Jesus. He said that's the lowest level of power. He said the second realm of power is the ability to subject creation to the government of God. I said, how is that? He said the earnest expectation of the creation, he waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. A son of God is not a child of God. A child of God is him that believe in Christ and receive his life. A son of God is one that behold him and is changed. A son of God is one that is led of the Spirit. You can listen to the message of an evangelist and become a child of God. But for you to become a son of God, you must be led by the Spirit. You must be transformed from inside. So it takes more to be a son than to be a child. A child can cast out devils. The Bible said he sent them out in Luke chapter 10. And he said they cast out demons. And when they returned to him, the Bible said he lifted up his voice and he prayed. He said, I thank you, O Father, that you have not revealed this to the prudent and to the mighty, but you have revealed it to babes. That means babes were the ones casting out demons. But for you to subject creation, you must have authority. It takes more than a revelation of the name of Jesus to address creation. Creation must see in your life that you are a son of God indeed. That's why when he stood on the water, he said to the wind, be still. They marveled. Even the wind obeyed this man. This man has authority over creation. That's another realm of power. And God told me, as mighty as that looks, he said it's a low realm. He said the third realm of power is the ability to tame the flesh. The ability to rule the flesh is superior to the ability to cast out demons. It's superior to the ability to take a city. The Bible said, who is that man that is perfect? It's a man that has control over his tongue. It said a man who can rule himself is greater than the man that can take a city. So, ability to rule flesh is a superior dimension of power than casting out demons. We have a generation where people are obsessed about miracles, but they are walking in sin comfortably. The guy is ruled by an addiction. He leaves pornography and he comes to preach powerfully. He thinks the gospel is about a drama. That is not the army of God. Paul said, herein do I exercise my conscience to be void of offense before God and before man. If you don't have power over your flesh, you can be a fellowship president, but in the spirit you are a babe. And even the demons will not take you for granted. They will say, leave him. This one is our servant. Because whomever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. You can be popular as the most popular fellowship president, but on that campus you have no authority. Even the princes know this one. Just send one sister to his house, everything will be over. This one, put fellowship money in his hand, and then before you know, he spends the money and replace it. Even though you were able to replace the money before they asked for it, the people may not know, but in the realm of God you have erred, because you have taught something that is sacred. Because it's not just about the figure, it's about the integrity. They gave you 10,000 fellowship money, you spent it. When they needed the money, you called your friend, he sent 10,000, you brought 10,000. They are not the same. The one you spent is not money. The one you spent is the trust of the fellowship. The one you spent is the blood of men. When the mighty men of David jeopardized their lives and brought him water from the garrison of the Philistine, he said, this is the blood of this man. When men gather money, some people who gave you that money, they missed food on campus. They went on hunger for 3 days to be able to bring that money. Some of them, it was part of their money to sponsor their studies, to buy books that they gave to you. You spent it, you thought it was 10,000 naira. It's not 10,000. It's the trust of men that you squandered. And because you have erred, you have no integrity. There is a level of authority in this kingdom that can be committed to you, because you are still a babe. You don't understand hallowed realities. The Bible said the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he's the Lord of all. We want to be the army of God, there must be a track record of integrity. When you begin to grow in the things of the spirit, that's when you will know the importance of integrity. When I went, there was a warfare that attacked me early this year. The people didn't bother about my message. They said the guy's doctrine is correct, no problem. They didn't bother about the move of power. They went and sponsored people, called people to go and check everybody I've had relationship with in the past, to find out either if I touched any lady or if I did anything wrong with money. They were looking for something to bring a scandal against my name. Because when a scandal comes, it doesn't matter the doctrine I'm preaching. It doesn't matter if blind eyes were opening. People will look at you and say you are fake. If your character cannot be validated, your manifestation is a lie. When warfare comes, that's when you will know how powerful integrity is. When you see the fathers of faith, 40 years they are standing, you think it's just because they are anointed? I will assure you that without character, the anointing can't take you far. When you see a man standing for 40 years, there is a track record of integrity. That man has been tried in the spirit many times. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6 verse 4, when he was a slave, there was no problem. But when the king wanted to make him president of the realm, he said they gathered together and they started looking for an occasion against Daniel. And the Bible said there was no occasion. The greatest power Daniel wrought in Babylon was not that lions couldn't eat him up. The greatest power Daniel wrought in Babylon was not because he could interpret dreams. The greatest power Daniel wrought in Babylon was not because he could interpret the writing. Mene, mene. No. The greatest power Daniel wrought in Babylon is the fact that in the midst of corruption, Daniel had a track record of integrity. There was no occasion found against Daniel. the man could walk in the valley of the shadow of death. He could walk in the ground of iniquity and corruption, but he was pure. How was he able to do that? There was a power that he carried. It's called the power of holiness. That was the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The power that rose Jesus from the dead was the power of holiness and purity. In Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, it said he was declared to be the seed of David, and he was raised from the dead by the power of holiness. If Jesus was corrupt, he would have perished in the grave. The power of resurrection is the power of holiness. You want to see a man that cannot be put down? It's a man that walks in uprightness. It's a man that walks in integrity. Thank God for word of knowledge. Thank God for healing. Thank God for deliverance. But I fight and I press to be pure in the spirit. Because when the demons come, they will not check out your manifestation. They will check out your integrity. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread, the lust of the flesh. If you are the Son of God, bow down to me, I will give you the glory of the world, the lust of the eyes. If you are the Son of God, jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Angels will hold you and you will not cast your feet against a stone. Pride of life. He passed all the tests. There will be no army except there is a code of integrity. We are out of time. And I'm just on number two. Time is a body. A day will come when we will have fellowship in eternity, where time does not exist. Where we will look upon him as he is, and we will commune with him forever and ever. The Bible said the four beasts, day and night, forever and ever, they fell on their faces and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." There's a fellowship that will never end. That day will come in Zion. That day will come. That day will come. Where will we walk in the midst of the coals of fire? Where will we walk in the sea of glass? And will we know him as we are known? A day cometh where we will be one with him indeed. Time is a body. Bow your heads, let's pray. I wish I had more time. I wanted to speak to you about diligence. I wanted to speak to you about love. I wanted to speak to you about loyalty and competence. But the Lord will speak through other ministers. You want to talk to the Lord now? Your altar is suffering. You can preach, you can sing, but you cannot stand in God's presence. You don't have stamina to tarry. You want to talk to the Lord now, even though you are the most anointed in the fellowship. You know that if your secret life were brought to the public, your ministry will end. And then you want to tell the Lord, "Help me." You know, I told you there are three prayers of great men. The first prayer of every great man is, "Lord, have mercy," because our sufficiency is not in ourselves. The second prayer of a great man is, "Lord, help me," because every man standing is helped of God. And the third prayer of a great man is, "Lord, thank you," because when a man is grateful, he qualifies for more. You want to tell the Lord to help you tonight. I know you came from far and wide. You have passion and zeal for the things of God, but you need help. You want to rededicate yourself to the Lord and commit yourself to Jesus so that you will be part of this army. You don't want to be left behind just because of lying, just because of fornication, just because of misappropriation of funds. Even though you are so anointed, you don't want to be substituted. You are telling God, "Help me tonight. I flow in word of knowledge. I flow in the gift of healing, but I lie. I exaggerate. I still fornicate. I still steal. Lord, please, I don't want to be disqualified. I know a great army is rising. I want to have a stake in that army. Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. They say, I don't want to preach, and at the end of the day, I become a castaway. I know the world can call me a great apostle, but I can become the son of perdition. Holy Ghost, have mercy. Help me tonight. I want to put aside the high-mindedness. I want to put aside the lying lips. I want to put aside the seductive tendencies. Help me, Holy Ghost. You have that cry tonight. I want to call you forward and pray with you. You know why we chant? It's because there is a place you come to. Words are not enough. You don't know what to tell him anymore. So you just chant in the Holy Ghost. I failed 1,000 times, but you showed me mercy. What can I say to this great God? Oh yeah. Ah, 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 hey. Here tonight, you still have the opportunity to come out. God is raising an army. He's not looking for preachers. He's not looking for singers. He's looking for witnesses, men that have a record in the spirit that the Lord has helped them, and they have conquered many battles. He's looking for such witnesses in the spirit. So river flow, river flow. Let it all river flow in your church once again. Let it all be seen. River flow, river flow. Let it all river flow in your church. Cry to the Lord. Let them put it on the altar. Cry to the Lord. Cry. It's a godly sorrow. Walk at repentance. Cry. Kadash, Valiendo Satai, Evovana, Marakada, Osonde Paragida. In your church, once again, Elohim Adonai.
The kingdom, but I have had visions of eternity. When Abraham is called, when Enoch is called, when Moses is called, when Apostle Paul is called, when Pastor Ie Adeboye is called, when Apostle Arome Osa is called, I also want to be called. It doesn't begin and end on earth. That's why I said, follow them who through patience obtain the promise. It's about the realms and the aeons to come. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When the day shall break, eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll. Billy Graham is summoned. When Maurice Cerullo is summoned. When Reinhard Bonnke is summoned. when W.F. Kumuye is summoned, when Bishop David Oedeko is summoned, when Dr. Paul Enenche is summoned, I want to be summoned as well. I want to stand with the warriors of heaven. When Peter is called, James is called, Bartholomew is called, Nathaniel is called, I want to be summoned. I didn't come to earth just to be a preacher. There is a throne. There is a crown. They say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. There remaineth for me a crown of life. When the ball is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the saved of earth shall, when they shall break it on a bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. I don't want to go to heaven. And even though I'm called an apostle on earth, widows will be given thrones and crowns. And then I have no place because I was called a castaway. No. Heaven is more important. There are men that will never be called a bishop. There are men that will never be called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. But they will have thrones in heaven. I want to pray with you now. Listen. There are most of you that need to come out. It doesn't matter if you are a leader. I talk to you about matters of eternity. You need to make your way right with God. There's a window of mercy tonight. You want to place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. Please mean it. I beg you, mean it. Say, dear Father, I come to you today as a sinner. Your word said, no man that cometh to me will I in any way cast away. I believe in my heart your son Jesus Christ, and I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead for my justification. And therefore I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I rededicate myself to you, Lord. Spirit, soul, body, and possession, have your way in my life. The power of sin, the power of the devil, is broken over my life. And the power of the resurrection and the power of holiness begins to regulate me from today. The power of God is already touching people, so just be sensitive. Lord, baptize me afresh. Please be sensitive now. The Holy Ghost will begin to fall on people. Now, both those who are outside and those who are sitting. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for these ones. Lord, I ask that as you receive them into your kingdom today, the hold of the devil over them is broken. In the name of Jesus, as they step out, they are shielded from the affairs of this life. They are shielded from the corruption of this age. And they will become salts of the earth and lights of the world. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now lift your hands toward heaven.
things be sensitive. I align myself with our Father, the President, over this commission, standing on his altar, and I speak over you tonight. Receive a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Step into a new dimension of the spiritual operations. Receive empowerment to validate everything the Scripture says about you. In the name of Jesus, as you return a changed man. Function in a new dimension. In the name of Jesus. Now just be quiet. Ushers, the hand of God will come on at least 40 of them. The Holy Ghost will touch them now. There are activations taking place now. As I speak right now, there are activations taking place. Just be sensitive. You don't need to do anything. Holy Ghost, now. So you help them. Help them for me. Holy Ghost. Fresh baptism. Fresh baptism. Some of them will start running. Please catch them so they don't injure themselves. Fresh. Fresh measures. Fresh measures. Fresh measures. Holy Ghost, move.
Name we are prayed. I want us to lift up our voice and just thank God on behalf of Apostle Michael Rupo for that wonderful ministration. Can we just stretch forth our hands as we lift up our voice in prayer? The Father, thank you for this ministration of the word.